So look, there's no doubt that we are in a crazy bull market when it comes to crypto. The only questions really are, one, is this a left translated cycle, or are we getting, and when I say left translated cycle, I mean that the ETF has replaced the halving and we're getting a pump now and we're not going to get a pump with the halving, or whether we're going to get this like double whammy and we're going to get a pump now and then another pump when we get the halving. So there's no doubt that we're in a bull market, but the question is, how much of a face melter is this bull market going to be? The other question that I have is, well, if this is going to be a bull market, how long is it going to last? And what are the best narratives that you should be investing in? And so today I've got a huge treat for you. I've got a banter, but it's not happening on a Friday. It's happening on a Wednesday. And that's because I've managed to round up three amazing, amazing guests for us. They're going to bring us huge alpha. They're going to tell us how long this bull market's going to last for, when the bull market's going to end, and they're going to tell you exactly which narratives they're investing in. What a treat for a Wednesday. Let's get the show on the road. So as I said, I don't usually do banters on a Wednesday, but these guests could only come together today. And so we had to do this today. So listen, welcome back. If you haven't exactly worked out what's going on here, yes, we are live on the new channel. We are live on Banter Plus. If you haven't subscribed to Banter Plus, subscribe to Banter Plus, because this is where the alpha is. This is where it's all happening. It's not happening on the main channel anymore. It's happening here. Subscribe. Remember, if you do subscribe, you do stand a chance to win the banter bags. You're always asking, what are the banter bags? Well, the banter bags are where we take IDO allocations, we put them into the banter bags, we get specific access to them. And then when we get to a million subscribers on Banter and 350,000 subscribers on Banter Plus, we give those bags to 10 members in the community. Now, last time we gave away like $10 million. So if you're not already subscribed, subscribe. If you are subscribed, smash the like button. Let's get the show on the road. I got a very, very, very big high alpha show for you guys today. Three of the best guests in the market, traders, analysts, etc. And we're going to talk about the bull market. We're going to talk about, you know, whether we're in a bull market. We're going to talk about the narratives. We're going to talk about how long this bull market's going to last. Just before we get there, though, I got to remind you all that these banters, whether they fall on a Wednesday or fall on a Friday, are actually sponsored by NordVPN. Now, there are a lot of excuses that you can make for not making money in the bull market or not keeping all the money that you're going to make in the bull market. But the one excuse that's a very lame excuse was, I got hacked. That's a very lame excuse. Especially when to protect yourself from getting hacked costs you $202 per month or less than $3 per month, $2.91 per month. So why do you need a VPN? Well, remember when you surf, you actually expose your IP address to hackers, to Wi-Fi people, to the government, to exchanges. You don't want to be that guy that got hacked because they exposed their IP address. And for $2.90 per month, not only do you get a VPN, but you get a password manager, you get all the other things that protect you. Once you've got the VPN, you need two other things. You need threat protection. That is the Nord offering that protects you against the malicious websites where you think that you're on a certain website, but you're on a malicious one. You connect your wallet and then all your money gets drained and you've got nothing to do about that. So get Nord, get threat protection, and get Incogni, which keeps you completely safe and completely anonymous when you are surfing online. Incogni limits the access to your private information, migrates all your risks of identity theft. Guys, you're talking about less than $10 a month to keep yourself safe and support the channel. There are links below. Do me a favor, go and sign up on the links below. Let's see if I can even show you some of the links below. Just go to the links below, sign up on the links below. And protect yourself and support the channel at the same time. All right, so let's go back to it. The bull market. How long will it last? I know we're in a bull market. And why I say we're in a crazy bull market, as I said yesterday, we're at all-time highs and people are worried about this bull market. People are pretty nervous. So I want to get my guests on and I want to ask my guests whether they'd actually be buying anything right now. I've got three amazing guests for you. I've got Rekt Mando, who's a market analyst, a trader. I've got OSF, who's a beast trader. And then a face that you guys definitely recognize, Miles, who's now moved to his own channel. He's shooting the lights out. The algorithm's loving his content. He's investing a lot in his content. Guys, welcome. Nice to have you guys all on Banter. Nice to have such a renowned bunch of people here. I have to ask you straight. I'm going to get straight to the point. Would you be buying now? Would you be buying anything now?
Who wants to start with that?
It's all yours, OSF.
I'll go. I think it depends on your positioning beforehand. Like, I spent a lot of 2022, 2023 buying. For me, it's not really a case of adding more risk here. But, you know, this market feels like what it felt like at the beginning of 2021 before I was even in crypto. And I came in and bought Bitcoin at the all-time highs and ETH at the all-time highs. And we went a lot higher from that. So I think if I didn't have any risk or exposure to this market, I would definitely be buying. But if I'm someone who's already like big in the game, I wouldn't be adding or increasing my risk here. I'd actually be thinking about areas where I want to piece out. And that's kind of how I'm viewing it right now.
So let's just quickly get some perspective. Why I asked the question is if you look at where Bitcoin was 2 weeks ago, Bitcoin was at 50,000 2 weeks ago. We're now at 71,600. I know there's a lot of people that are sidelined and are thinking to themselves, should I miss the run? You still think that if they were sidelined and they're not invested, 71 is a good entry?
Yeah, I think it probably still is. Like, you know, if you apply the same logic back in 2021 when Bitcoin breached whatever it was, 23, 24K, it was all-time high, and it went on to triple that cycle, that was still a good trade, right? This cycle is different because you have a large specific buyer of Bitcoin right now, which is the ETFs. Right now, there's $500 million of inflow basically every day that's going straight into the Bitcoin ETF. I think most people expect that total net inflow to get to around $70 or $80 billion by the end of the year. We're only an eighth of the way through that. So there's a very obvious buyer for Bitcoin that I think will continue while the macro conditions stay in place. And so, yeah, like it's kind of, you look at that chart and you think, oh man, like I don't want to like buy this thing at the top. But you know, once something breaches its all-time high and it stays there for a while, for a few days or a few weeks, whatever it is, it kind of solidifies and proves that level. And at the end of the day, the ETFs don't care. They're going to come in and keep buying it. They're not going to be like, oh, all-time high, I don't want to buy it.
It's so interesting because, you know, we actually did a show earlier this week where we said that, you know, that when Bitcoin broke its all-time high, both previous times or all three previous times, it doubled within like the next 30 days after that. So that's why the question, Mando, I see you're nodding. Let's assume that you were sidelined or you were only invested 20% of your capital. You saw this chart. You saw that the all-time high was breached. Would you have the balls to start buying now, or would you sit on the sideline and wait for some kind of shakeout?
Look, charts are great because they simplify things and you're able to see trends quite well. But I actually think chartists could get hurt quite badly in this sort of move, because you'll start to see things like it looks overbought, the RSI will look high, fear and greed will look high. And what Ursef just said makes is kind of what you need to be focusing on, which is the flows. Where's the Bitcoin supply going to come from, and where's the Bitcoin demand going to come from? We know that we're getting about 500 million roughly of demand each day, and supply pockets are small. Like this, maybe some government Bitcoin that's going to come to market, maybe some miners need to sell a little bit more before the halving. Like it's not crazy. And so that's the thing I think you need to focus on. Like, does that dynamic feel like it's going to change? And if not, then I think we're going to keep on pushing. Like, I think the fear and greed could go above 90 for a while here. The RSI index could all look overbought. And if you look at the chart, you're going to scare yourself out of it when actually you should just be looking at the flows. Like the upside downside risk of Bitcoin here, I don't know. It feels very different to even when Bitcoin was lower. Like when Bitcoin was at 26K, it felt like Bitcoin could fall out of bed because there was no real buy. Like it could have dropped down below 20K. A lot of people were getting scared around that. But now I feel like if there was any sort of major dip on Bitcoin, it would get bought the hell out of. Like you're really just scared about that one day wick rather than anything major. Like the flows right now are we have massive buying and there's very little supply. In fact, the halving is going to cut that supply even more. So
we've got bulls. We've got two full tilt degen bulls. Miles, what's your view here? So you've been doing a lot of market research at the moment. If you were sitting sidelined or you were only invested 20% of your capital, would you have the balls to ape into Bitcoin at 71,500? Yes or no, sir?
I've kind of been in this predicament myself, actually, because I've been shifting capital around with my like asset allocations. And I've kind of come to the conclusion that short term, I probably wouldn't go down that route. But long term, I still don't mind Bitcoin. Like if you've got like a 5 to 10 year time horizon, then, you know, longer term, if you're trying to position yourself in a hard asset, you know, something equivalent to gold, something that's not going to depreciate, of course, you know, you should be comfortable shifting into Bitcoin at pretty much any price. Like I'm pretty much always bullish on Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But then I also do look at the Bitcoin dominance at 54%. And it's been on a run. I think it's, you know, pushing back towards its local highs again. And I just think there is probably just more upside in the alts. So for me, it's more about identifying, this is probably something we'll get onto later in the show, like the undervalued altcoin sectors, as opposed to trying to squeeze that extra juice out of Bitcoin. But that's just where my focus is, because I know I'm not going to be able to 5-10x on Bitcoin, I'll be able to maybe, you know, 2-2.5x over the next year or two if things go really well.
So this is the chart of the QQQ versus Bitcoin. I spoke about it with Raoul Paul last week. It's down 99.7% against Bitcoin in the last 10 years. So what you said is, you know, you got to buy Bitcoin at any price because the trade is seems to be a one-way trade. And this trade could actually be accelerated actually because of the ETF. That's the conclusion that we came to. Okay, so we've got four crazy bulls. I mean, let's just, I'll succumb and I'll say I would be a buyer. In fact, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I've got a NASDAQ. It's not an ETF. It's a fund that tracks the NASDAQ that's becoming unlocked. And I've got quite a significant amount of wealth, which I've locked up in there. And now I've got to make a decision whether I lock it up or whether I go more into Bitcoin. And even though I'm irresponsibly long Bitcoin, I just can't justify locking it up for another 3 years into the NASDAQ when Bitcoin is when I understand what's about to happen to Bitcoin and I've bought into this chart thesis. So maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm going irresponsibly long, but that's what I've decided to do. So question. I've seen two theories about this cycle. The first theory that I've seen about this cycle is I've seen the theory that I think we've all seen, which is the left translated cycle, which basically, in a nutshell, what this left translated cycle means is, or says is that usually we get the big run after the halving, but this time we had a catalyst which happened before the halving, and so the whole cycle has become left translated, and that things are happening really, really, really quickly now. The cycle is faster. The dips, the breakouts, the recoveries, the rotations are all getting faster. That's the one cycle. The one cycle is that the left-translated cycle has made everything much quicker. But then there's another theory. Another theory is a derivative of the left-translated cycle. And what it says is we're actually going to get two pumps. The one is the left-translated cycle. We're going to have a double-barrel face-melting cycle. One is we have the ETF approval, which acted like the halving because it had the same effect as the halving. But then, as Plan B says, he says the first three halvings were not priced in, and probably the next halving is also not priced in at some point. So if that happens, we could get a double whammy. We could get like one pump because of the ETF approval and one pump because of this, because of the halving, and then get a double whammy. So I'm interested to hear from you guys what you think. Is it just the fact that the whole cycle has shifted left? Everything's going to happen quicker. It's going to end sooner. Or is it the normal length of cycle? And we're just going to get two big pushes, one from the halving and one from the ETF catalyst. Manda, I see you're nodding. I guess that's because you really like what I'm saying here. And you have some kind of opinion.
Look, I think it's a little bit early to tell. I think the things coming up that we know is the halving. After that, like, still unsure if the ETH ETF is going to happen. That could feel like a very different sort of altcoin season. Like, that would be an obvious altcoin season for me, because then they would look to various different ETFs if they happen. It's looking more than likely now that that might not happen, or at least that's what Polymarket's saying it will be. So
24% chance of approval. The last thing that I read from the Bloomberg analysts, they've given it a 35% chance. The SEC hasn't been meaningfully engaging. Yeah, it's not, as Castillo says, it's not looking good, Brev. It's not looking good, Brev.
Exactly. That was at like 75-80% in January, right? So, and I don't think TradFi, like when I listen to CNBC or Bloomberg talk about that, they still think that the alpha trade is buying ETH into this ETF. And I think that is actually, we're getting quite a precarious trade with how ETH has performed over the last couple of months. I think the altcoin season then, for like to have a more extended, you know, I think Bitcoin can keep going just with ETF demand, but for this to really extend and be a broad-based rally, we kind of do need to see number of wallets start to tick up. We started to see that a bit more on Solana. I think there was the highest number of daily wallets yesterday on Solana, but we're still only, I would say, 30 to 50% of where we were in 2021 in terms of like actual activity in terms of wallets. You might argue with the ETFs, part of that is less on-chain wallets. So like maybe crypto is becoming a bit broader without actually having more active crypto users, so to speak. I think we could have that. For me, the strongest trends are things like gaming, the RWA narrative. Like if we start putting, you know, some of these hundreds of trillions of assets on chain, then we could really get an extended bull. And maybe you start to see the ETFs out of Hong Kong, out of the UK, they start to drive a broader based rally. I think I would love for this to not just be a cycle. I would love to this actually be the adoption cycle, where this isn't just like, right, this random run up and then we all comes crashing down and we all own, you know, tier two dog coins on Solana. Like, I actually really hope that this turns into something more than just a vacuous cycle. So I'm aiming for this to be a longer one. Perhaps we have seen like a big run up here that it won't be sustained at the same sort of velocity. But I would like to see, you know, this last for multiple years. And
but everything happens in a cycle. I mean, even the stock markets have their cycles. You go up and you go down. Now, granted, the stock market cycles have been much more forgiving than the crypto cycles. And you could probably also say that since, you know, now we're getting so many Bitcoin brought up by the institutions. I mean, they already own like 1 million Bitcoin out of the 21 million already owned by the ETFs, more or less. And so you could argue that if they carry on buying like this, then crypto will become a derivative of the macro cycle, and then we won't get the 4-year or the 3-year or the 2-year bear markets. We'll get much shorter bear markets like we've been getting with the S&P. So I do think that that's something that we should pay attention to, how much Bitcoin the institutions are controlling, because that could dictate the cycle that we follow.
I agree with that. I that's basically what I'm asking for. I'm asking not for another two and a half year bear cycle where like nothing happens, there's no on-chain activity. It feels as though this could change. We're actually starting to get adoption in a range of different ways. And I'm kind of hopeful that this is a longer cycle. Doesn't have to maybe be as aggressive as what Plan B is saying.
You made a good point, Mando. You spoke on RWA, you spoke on gaming. I think it's really important for people to position themselves in the narratives that can be relatively resilient, even to bear market conditions. Now, I'm totally cognizant of the fact that crypto in general is not going to be fully resilient. Things are still going to have massive drawdowns in a bear. But if gaming really does hit that, you know, adoption inflection point, if things like AI can grow to the size of magnitude like we think that they can, if RWA yields can actually be successfully imported on chain, then we can see that additional resilience. And I think it's important to construct your portfolio in such a way that you do have exposure to these verticals, you know, that can also perform longer term if we do see some sort of extended adoption curve, as you alluded to.
So look, I drew this chart for us. This is the chart of the QQQ. I've taken it up back to 2008. 2008 was absolutely brutal. And if you look at the recovery in 08, and I'm going to go just from here to probably here, that was 104 weeks. So that was 2 years. But otherwise, this was like a meltdown where the government didn't know how to deal with things. It was the first time they actually tried money printing. But otherwise, if you look at the bear market since 2008, I mean, I think the one thing that will stick out here is that they don't really have long bear markets. I mean, let's just take this one over here, which was the 2019 bear market. It was a couple of months. So I don't know. It feels like in the stock markets, the cycles are much more forgiving than in the crypto markets, where we seem to have those long dips. So I'm kind of hopeful that if the institutions start to get hold of a large chunk of the Bitcoin, that will start to be the orchestrator of the cycle. And if that's the orchestrator of the cycle, then the way I said, we'll probably have much more forgiving cycles. I'm hoping that that's the case. OSF, is it a left translated cycle? Is it a double barrel cycle with two catalysts, one being an ETF and one being a halving? Is it a different kind of cycle?
I don't think, for me, the halving is not really a catalyst. For me, the halving is just a narrative. And I think the halving seems to have correspond with market cycles. Like if you look at traditional markets, those cycles seem to correspond with the Bitcoin halving. I think it's maybe not coincidence, but it just, the timing I think is fortunate there. So for me, like, I think there's a greater chance that it is a left translated cycle because you have had a catalyst that's occurred, crypto to rally a lot. You are at a point in time where macro, like stocks are at all time highs, many risk assets are at all time highs, and we're creeping higher as well. And I just think that seems to be the timing this time around. I don't think just a Bitcoin halving next month is going to be the sole reason as to why things take another leg higher. I think if they take another leg higher, it will be on their own merits and not just because of that halving. But I think my hunch is it's closer towards a left translated cycle. I think we are probably, maybe 50% of the way through it. I don't think we've seen the highs yet. I do think Bitcoin will go above 100K. I think we'll see much more strong price action. I think we still have a great big retail influx to come as well. But we are, you know, we're not, like,
we're in it.
You know, a few months ago, we were, it's early in the cycle. We're not, it's early in the cycle anymore. We're definitely through some meat of it, I think.
Okay, Miles, what are you, I'm going to take you through some statistics in a second, but Miles, what are your thoughts? Left translated cycle, longer, same length cycle with two catalysts, some other theory?
It's very hard to compare to the previous cycles, isn't it? Because we've never seen this like institutional demand flow underpin the asset class. We've never seen speculation on ETFs like across Ethereum. And we've also never seen the type of products that are now shipping. Like, think about it. Like, since the last wave of investment that kind of came into crypto in 2021, there's been like 3 to 4 really strong years of building that actually took place throughout the bear in those top verticals, you know, like gaming, infrastructure. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know if I can exactly answer it because it's impossible, but it does seem very different this cycle. I think in terms of the shorter term run up, it may be leaning left, but in terms of the potential for this to be an extended run, I also think that's almost equally a possibility.
Well, one thing I would say, by the way, about Bitcoin ETFs right now, where everyone's like, all right, great Bitcoin ETFs, institutional money, it's all coming in, they're all buying Bitcoin. If you look at the ETF market in the traditional finance world, it's great when the ETF is buying, but it's horrific when the ETF is selling. And there will be a point in time when the Bitcoin ETF will start selling it, you know, getting redemptions and selling Bitcoin. And just like it is coming in buying every single day now, it's going to be coming in selling every single day at some point in time. It's going to actually have the reverse impact to quite some aggression as well that I think people are not aware of, or what, like, no one is thinking, oh my god, what's going to happen when the ETF sell Bitcoin, because that will happen. Like, you will see an outflow at some point in time.
But I mean,
you have to be conscious of that.
I think we can kind of say that that's not going to happen for the first 12 months. I mean, there's a lot of tax implications of being in the
12
first...
months. 12 months is a long time, Ryan. It's a long time, man. Like, 12 months in this space, and we're already some way through it. Like, it's a very long time. I agree with you. I definitely agree with you, but I think it's not a given.
I think it's just, you'll have higher correlation with macro. So like, if we have a horrific period here for the NASDAQ, let's say, you know, NVIDIA takes a bit of a nosedive and takes some tech stocks with it, I would be unsurprised if you start seeing some outflows. We used to trade a market where ETFs, me and OSF used to trade the same market, but where ETFs used to trade, and like, they are price indiscriminate. So like, right now, just as much as the RSI goes higher every single day, and it doesn't really matter because the ETF just has to buy. Sometimes when they have to sell, things can just get a little bit sloppy and you get some crazy prints. But I'm not scared about that right now. I'd be scared about that in like 24 months more, I think.
I agree. I mean, I agree that I've seen ETF selling, and when ETFs sell, it's quite a scary thing. But I also know that I think this ETF is still too new for selling. And I think barring a massive stock market correction, or barring something fundamental, I don't see the ETFs offloading yet. These guys usually, I mean, I know how the bigger family offices and stuff like that allocate their capital. They say, look, you know, 2% of our portfolios must be in a certain asset class, and probably Bitcoin in this case. And so, you know, they hold it at 2%. Now, I don't think that they filled up their 2% to the point where they need to start rebalancing portfolios. But I may be wrong here. I mean, I may be completely wrong here. So I did something earlier today, and I think it's worth maybe talking about. I plotted the amount of time since the breach of the previous all-time high that these bull markets have lasted. And so you can see that in 2017, there were 41 weeks and until the Bitcoin top. In 2021, it was 49 weeks. In 2013, it was 39 weeks. So we can say that the average cycle from when we break the all-time high has been about 40 weeks, give or take. Keen to hear what your views are. I mean, does the all-time high come in 39 weeks because we breached the previous all-time high convincingly last week? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that dissimilar to the last point. My hope is that this is like a multi-stage rally. I do think Bitcoin will lead this. I do think we need to see like slightly higher number of wallets to see a sustained adoption. We're starting to see that. I think if you start to see international ETFs start to come through, if you start to see more sovereign nations come through, there's a lot of talk about obviously different Gulf nations buying Bitcoin at the moment. That would be very, 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 very strong. But then I would like to see a bit more adoption. Like if potentially after the next election, you see slightly more softening of regulation in the US, or at least any regulation about the use of RWAs. At the moment, there's really just a pass for treasury bonds, but that's about it. Like if they start extending that to other assets and you start to have a stronger environment there for tokenization, I think we could get a very, very strong broad-based rally. Like we have all the tools for that kind of setup. Uniswap may have won some sort of decision recently, which should revolutionize that whole DeFi landscape as well, which I think could be pretty strong. I think this rally could be a longer period. Like I think it could be more than a year. I think we're talking a 2-year rally here.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, Miles, what do you think? I mean, do we follow, I mean, everything is happening very fast now. Do we follow this and peak in 40 weeks or does this last longer?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar. Like, just based on the data we have, it looks pretty similar to the previous cycle. So there's nothing really so far that's going to shift my view until we start seeing Bitcoin kind of, you know, peel off. If that starts to happen, then we can start to recalibrate. What it's currently indicating is something towards, you know, a late end of year peak, potentially Q1 2025. So that's kind of what I'm eyeing in terms of a top for Bitcoin. In terms of a top for altcoins, alts usually do peak a couple months after that Bitcoin high. So obviously everyone knows I'm heavier in the altcoin market, so I'll be watching those signs pretty closely. If Bitcoin does put in a high, I think alts can go on that last like face melting kind of blow off top rally, and then that's when the bear market will likely begin.
So I read this tweet, which I think was profound. It's a long tweet. I'm not going to read the whole tweet, but I think it is absolutely profound. It says, 80% of profit are made in the last 20% of the cycle. Learn how to recognize an alt season and make the most out of it. What triggers an alt season is not the percentage return of Bitcoin, but its wealth effect. And since September 2023, Bitcoin's market cap has grown by $941 billion, which means that effectively we're saying we've grown by almost $1 trillion, which is the entire economy of Saudi Arabia, Netherlands, or Switzerland. He gives the other things. He says, given that most altcoins are relatively small in size, it will not take much of this wealth to significantly increase the price. The whole altcoin market cap, excluding ETH and major stablecoins, is $588 billion. So what will happen next? And effectively, he says, we're going into a face-melting altcoin cycle because of the wealth effect that Bitcoin has created. So he talks about the size of Bitcoin market relative to the size of the altcoin market. And it's happened every year. But this year, we're getting a mismatch between the growth effect in Bitcoin and the alts. And so we're about to get a massive altcoin cycle. We will get a massive altcoin cycle. So question, when does this altcoin cycle actually start? Because we keep calling it and we keep waiting for it. And a lot of our alts have actually done fantastically well. But we haven't got to face-melting altcoin season yet. For those of us who've been here, I mean, I think we've all been here for multiple altcoin cycles. We're not there yet. I mean, we've had some great returns, but we're not there yet, or are we?
Well, so let me ask you a question. Out of us four, we're in the space every single day. How much of your portfolio is Bitcoin versus altcoins right now?
Right now, Bitcoin's my biggest holding. It shouldn't have been, but it just performed so well that it just became my biggest holding, and I just haven't had the conviction to start trading out of Bitcoin into alts. Even though when I look at this chart, I mean, just look at the alts for the 1 month. The meme coin, 700%, 500%, 783%. The AI coins, 294%, 321%. The file storage coins, 338%. File coins also somewhere 100%. Still doesn't feel like an altcoin run. I mean, I don't know. What's wrong with me? Like, this is, you know, this is a month. This is a month, and I still don't feel like we're in an altcoin season.
It's not. I still don't think it is. And I think it's mainly because of positioning. I feel it on CT every day. Everyone's waiting for altcoins. You can feel it even on the days, you know, when Bitcoin does nothing. Like today, for example, Bitcoin's barely moving. Altcoins are moving lower. And the CT timeline will be a shambles because everyone is positioned in altcoins. Everyone's expecting altcoins. I think you have to appreciate that even if we get an altcoin season, it might be more protracted because people are fully invested in the crypto space in altcoins right now. I think I saw the other day that the OI in altcoins overtook Bitcoin for the first time ever. Yes. That was a couple of weeks ago, right? So people are positioned in altcoins. And generally, when people are positioned in altcoins, you're not just going to randomly see everyone make a ton of money. So what I would say is it's going to be slightly more protracted. I do think you're looking for catalysts there. But in terms of the best risk-reward trades, I still think Solana is probably the best because it doesn't seem vacuous. Like, it, you know, there's actual users every single day right now. It's
we'll get there. We'll get there. For now, I just want to know, like, are we in altcoin season? Are we not yet in altcoin season? We're going to get to all the narratives in a second. I've got a lot of data on the narratives, but Miles, are we in altcoin season? I mean, well, can you hand on your heart, can you tell me the definition?
It can't be an altcoin season because the definition of an altcoin season is you know, when Bitcoin underperforms and altcoins perform. So if we're looking at the definition of an altcoin season, we're not there. We're not even close. I think, well, we might have been close at times, but I don't think we would be now, but we can check this out. No.
Only 59% of the top 100 coins have outperformed Bitcoin, which means it's not yet an altcoin season. Altcoin season starts when 75% of the coins have outperformed Bitcoin. That's, if you want to go by sticky definitions, that's the sticky definition.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing now is a lot of pre-positioning and hypey narratives. So I think it's a lot of people trying to front run. You know, I always think of that phases, you know, phase one, phase two, that classic image. I think a lot of people are like a bit smarter. I don't think a lot of retail is back. So there's a lot of seasoned market participants now, which have kind of skipped straight to phase four. And they've just started like gambling on a lot of these like, you know, strong trends. I also think what's happened with the meme coins, like you'll notice the things that are really up are like AI, meme coins, gaming a little bit, but not even much. It's mostly the AI and meme coins.
He has the best performing memes month to date, the best performing tokens month to date. Meme coins, 177%. Two, identity, but that's a very small substack. And then AI, and then two, down deepen and gaming. Those are pretty much the big performers. I don't think
the other narratives are barely running. L1s, L2s, they're not really running apart from like, you know, your leaders, Sol, Injective. The other ones are playing catch up, but they're still relatively far behind. So I think the memes is really being driven by a lot of retail that were in the market last cycle, just starting to tune back in. Like they're seeing Bitcoin on CNBC, they're seeing it on Bloomberg, they're seeing it everywhere. They're starting to tune back in. They're re-downloading their wallets. I know the Coinbase and Robinhood and these kind of apps have started charting recently. And they're just checking back in. They're buying some memes. They're playing around. But it's not like a full-blown alt season. They're mostly just in the memes still, which is a good sign. Actually, some people say it's bearish, but it's bullish because it means that, you know, old participants are coming back slowly.
So, okay, fair enough. Is this meme coin hype froth? I mean, like I must say that the most money that I've seen made around the office, and I use the office as the big degens in crypto, the most money that I've seen made out of anyone, out of anything so far in the cycle has definitely been meme coins. These guys are investing $1,000 and walking away with $600,000 and $700,000 in some cases, and they're repeating this multiple times on dogs and cats and stuff like that. That usually is a sign of froth. Usually that's a sign of, I don't know, big correction on the way. How do you feel about the froth levels in the market?
I think in the past you've had sort of like meme coin runs and then it sold off within the last 2 years, and that's often been a sign of froth. Like when Doge rallies in the last 2 years, everyone's like, oh, now it's time to sell. But I think you have to recognize like when the market paradigm shifts, and right now we're not in like a 2-year bear market, we're in the middle of a bull market. And in the middle of a bull market, meme coins and NFTs and everything else can do crazy levels. And the thing about meme coins compared to other protocols or other chains or whatever is they're not bound by any logic or any law or any relative value or any, you know, models or anything. It's just like, hey, here's a coin, a bunch of people find this funny, a bunch of people are going to buy it, and they're going to run it up to some crazy price, and that crazy price can literally be anything. I mean, SHIB and Doge are still at $20 to $30 billion market caps, right? So I think this time round it's perhaps not a sign of froth, it's just a sign that we're in this crazy bull market, and maybe there's more of it to come. But I think this bull market, you'll still see narratives, and that one narrative will take play, then capital will shift to the next thing until you really have like full-on retail inflow. And right now, the narrative has been meme coins. For a while, it was gaming. For a while, it was like alt L1s and Solana,
I don't mind narratives. I don't mind narratives like gaming where, you know, I know that eventually one or two games are going to hit it. And, you know, those games are really going to change the world because, you know, we're going to have a big play-to-earn economy, and it's going to be play and earn, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be Axie 2.0 or Axie 3.0. I don't mind RWAs because I think RWAs is a great narrative. I don't even mind AI, even though I'm very skeptical about how many AI applications. But when people convince themselves that a dog with a hat is an investment, and I know that a lot of people here are convincing themselves that a dog with a hat and that Vitalik's cat is an investment, I start to worry. Like, to me,
it's not an investment, though. I don't think anyone, I mean, I hope people don't sit there thinking it's an investment. I think it's a gamble, or it's a play, or it's a trade. You can deploy everything you deploy capital in doesn't have to be classified as an investment. And I, like, for me, meme coins have been my biggest wins this year. And I bought a lot of dog with hat, and I didn't sit there thinking, right, this is,
have you sold
a
it?
Safe investment. I've sold 75% of it. Yeah.
Miles, did you buy dog with hat?
I bought a little bit. I talked about it on one of my streams or shows. I think I got it at like $1. I'm still holding most of it actually. So,
and what's your cue to exit? Like, you're saying you're still holding most of it. What's your cue to exit?
So here's the amazing thing about spot trading and even low leverage trading. You can apply the same logic. You don't need a cue. You just need to be smart with your risk management. So like if you get in early enough into a coin, and I hope like a lot of people got decent entries on coins, you can just like eventually raise your floor. So I've got limit orders that I've just been raising. So I got in, I think $1.10. So it's been $1.20, $1.30, $1.40. You just keep raising. Once it hits that floor, that'll be my.
So you're not waiting for a certain period in the market. You're not looking at it as an investment. You don't think that you're going to be holding Dogworth Hat into the next cycle. That's not part of what you're holding into the next cycle.
No, okay. It's shorter term. It's probably 1 to 2 months. But if we start seeing the signs of a strong, like a meme reversal, I'll probably just get out. I'll just cheat it.
Mando, did you buy Dogworth Hat?
Yeah, of course. Me and SF are big into meme coins. If you zoom back out of that chart, it was actually a period before, like last month has been great for meme coins. Before that, Doge didn't move, SHIB didn't move. All of these, Whiff was trading at $200 million.
Yes.
And the thing about meme coins is they have amazing positive momentum because it's always into listings. Unlike any other coins, right? Like they don't really list or they don't go through any sort of launch pad. So as soon as the volume starts picking up, they start to get listings and then the momentum just takes them away. So like they are quite good risk reward bets in sort of early cycle. And there's been a few of them, right? Like this cycle. I think you have to be wary that when that listings momentum goes, you're really in it for lower multiples. Like the best meme coins are the ones like sub 500 million. And obviously it's being a public commentator, it's very difficult to talk about that sort of stuff, but they are the best risk reward trades. Cause if they get enough volume and positive momentum, then, you know, they can really get going. I have less of a moral issue with meme coins. Like I think, do I think that the creator of Doge or like Doge right now is an issue? Like people still argue that Bitcoin arguably like has memetics in it. Like people have to believe in the value of it to stay valuable. I agree that it's showing signs of froth, but it really before that space was dead. Part of the reason why it really, really went ballistic is because a lot of people in crypto, even in crypto day in, day out, had basically sold all their meme coins and only owned altcoins, assuming they were going to get an altcoin cycle. And then this meme coin cycle came out of nowhere and caught a few people off guard as well. So like, I think part of it was people were underinvested to a space which traditionally outperforms everything. Like each cycle, memes normally are the crazy trades that do tens of thousands of percent ROI. I think we've probably seen the back of the two biggest, maybe, or two or three biggest, but there's no doubt in my mind. Like the meme coin volume on Solana right now is unbelievable. And there is no doubt in my mind that the big centralized exchanges are going to try and list some of them. They're already trying to. So like mid-tier Solana memes are getting listed right now. And I think that's just because the volume is crazy right now.
I love meme coins, as long as you understand that meme coins are a casino and they are, you're trading in and out of a casino and you're not holding them into the next cycle. You don't marry a meme coin. I'm very happy to marry some of my gaming bags and some of my real world asset bags and my layer one bags and my storage bags because I have. In fact, I looked at my portfolio and I broke down my biggest holdings in my portfolio. And actually, pretty interestingly, this is the biggest holdings in my portfolio. Bitcoin, Solana, Injective, Ethereum, Arweave, Varun, Kujira, Render, Superfarm, Astroport. That is literally, I just pulled my top 10. Every single one of them is between 2 and 4 cycles old. None of the big holdings in my portfolio are one cycle old, which just shows the wisdom of holding tokens through multiple cycles. But I just can't get myself to hold a meme coin into multiple cycles. I did buy some meme coins. I bought some Dogworth Hat. I bought some based Brett. I bought some Redog because I love the Ton blockchain. I even bought Elizabeth Horan just because it's the official token of the crypto resistance. I just feel that that's the one that you have to hold.
There's an important thing to know here though. Like I think saying that you're going to buy altcoins instead of meme coins, like people have to appreciate that AI coins, for example, no one's really using any of this tech right now. Gaming, they are valuations rather than users. Like only a few of these games have tens of thousands of users. You are essentially buying a meme at the same time. You are buying a narrative. So don't sit there saying, I am buying utility.
Let's go there because Miles has been super bullish the AI coins. My theory about the AI coins is they're all memes. And, you know, like I think that barring maybe three tokens, and I think BitTensor is a good proof of concept. Tau is a great proof of concept. I think Render, and I think, to be honest, all the GPU plays, if they get the GPU play right, solve a real world problem that can only be solved in crypto. But barring that, I think that most other AI tokens are actually meme coins. And the trigger for the meme coin, instead of it being us, it's the big the real world, the NVIDIA world, breaking news headlines. You know, like if you look at WorldCoin today has like a market capitalization of $100 billion, which is more than OpenAI. Now, you can't argue that WorldCoin should have a bigger valuation than the whole of OpenAI. That's got to be a meme. And the meme is being pumped by the real world as opposed to by the crypto bros. I mean, Miles, I know you're super bullish about AI, or you've been making a lot of tweets and a lot of videos on AIs, and they've been fantastic. But keen to hear your view about, like, are AI coins meme coins with a different catalyst that's not Twitter? Is every coin a meme coin? I mean, effectively, are all these valuations bullshit and are we just actually all trading meme coins and some of us just justifying that these meme coins are actually investments? Like, how do you justify this? I'm keen to hear your view.
A lot of the AI, not a lot, 99.999% of the AI coins are absolute vaporware rubbish. They aren't even AI. My theory is AI, given the transformative impact it's having around the world, given the shortage for GPU power, my theory is that I can't really justify how it sits ranked 23 out of all the crypto sectors at a $23 billion valuation. I strongly believe it's going to push towards a $1 trillion val because crypto is a highly liquid sector. It's going to catch a lot of the overflow and a lot of the speculative interest in AI. That's not going into the stock market. It's up to the crypto market now to produce the products which can actually fulfill this promise. And are they currently in the market? I don't think so. And I've said this on the shows. A lot of my plays are speculative in terms of the narrative. But I do believe that in terms of like a flywheel, there isn't a stronger vertical in crypto than DeepIn. And maybe we can go...
Okay, hold on. Let's maybe play a little game here. If I were to give you $10,000 and I were to tell you that you need to put the $10,000 into four narratives and you can decide the split of the $10,000, which four narratives would they be and what would the split be? So, I mean, like for me, naturally, the four areas, I mean, layer ones for me is quite big. I think DeepIn... So the next one for me would be Deepin would be my next one. Probably after that, I'd go into the speculative bets, which I'd go gaming then AI, to be honest, because I just think gaming has more of a chance of succeeding this cycle than AI. I think my AI bets would be much more the infrastructure bets. And that is the GPU.net, the IONet, the renders, because that's a problem that I can see kind of being solved pretty well by crypto. When I look at other tokens, like I don't really want to mention them here because I'll get communities jumping down my throat saying I'm being biased and nasty to the community. But there are a lot of tokens where I just don't think that they're production grade ready. I think the GPU problem is a problem that crypto can fix pretty quickly. Like it's like pretty quickly in the cycle, we could actually start getting some results. So I'd probably allocate to layer ones. I'd probably allocate 30% to layer ones. Then I'd move down to DeepIn and I'd probably put 20% or 30% into DeepIn and then probably 20% into AI and gaming, or maybe just a little bit more into gaming. Keen to hear your views. How would you allocate $10,000 or $20,000?
Funny because DeepIn is kind of cheating a little bit. You know, a lot of my AI videos, if you watch them, you know, I'll talk about AI, but then I'll actually say DeepIn is actually, you know, my strongest bet in the AI sector, because if people don't know what DeepIn does, it's essentially decentralized private infrastructure networks to facilitate compute for AI and gaming applications. And of course, AI is one of the most computer power intensive activities there is. So if you're going to have AI on a wide scale, you're going to need cheap compute. You're going to need DeepIn. So I guess I would agree with you. I would say 30% DeepIn, but I'm also kind of cheating now because I'm getting exposure to AI and gaming indirectly.
Fair just enough.
As a layer one, you're getting exposure to other dApps indirectly. But if I had to, I would actually be very similar to you. I think layer ones are a must have, of course, and then probably AI slash deep, and I'll put it in the same category. Then gaming, and then something you didn't mention is meme coins. I would have as 10% just for the fun of it, just because okay. I think I don't know if we really do see this retail velocity, it's like memes are just going to perform well, and it's pretty much like a known thing now.
Out of the L1s, what are your bets on L1s? What's your favorite L1? Still Solana, or have you had an about turn?
I like Solana a lot. As I actually think it does perform well. It's actually showing signs of outperformance. I think it could continue to outperform. But at the current valuation, so obviously in terms of a hold, yes, Solana. At the current valuation, I think plays like, say, Injective's high, but it's still reasonable, like those kind of plays I think have more upside. And then there are some really good like upcoming ones, like Monad. I mean, this is a little bit further down if we're talking about an extended cycle, but parallelization is super interesting. So you've got Monad, you've got Eclipse, which is an upcoming layer two. I'm an early investor in it. It's basically a, I don't know, you probably saw recently their cap table is absolutely stacked.
Yeah.
And they're doing the Solana VM play. So it's like, yeah, I think a lot of these upcoming layer ones are going to be very interesting to watch as well. Layer ones, layer twos.
Manda, I know you're obsessed with Solana, but let's talk about how you'd allocate $10,000 if you were investing. What narrative you're going to? And then maybe tell us about your layer ones that you like.
Yeah, look, you guys have kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, you essentially went down there, and the argument for AI is the strongest meme. Like, it's the strongest, as people try to allocate what could be the strongest narrative, who's selling the biggest dreams. People can sell some pretty big dreams right now in AI. I like certain tokens there. Like, I think FET is an interesting token. I think, like you said, some of the GPU tokens are interesting. I think my biggest allocation, if I think we are early mid-cycle, let's say, I still think the memes will perform the best. So
how would you break up your $10,000?
So right now, in terms of my altcoins, meme coins are still my biggest bag in terms of the altcoins. And then it's followed by, I guess I have some deep in. I have some, and then it's mainly L1s. I have a small, like I have FET as my like AI play because I think it's at 2 or 3 billion. I think it could still do many multiples on dreams, like just on the idea that we can sell a narrative here. And then in terms of L1s, like it depends on the risk reward curve. Like for L1s, that's really my hold throughout the cycle bag. The reason why I'm big into memes right now is because I think we're early mid cycle. Like they can still really perform. I don't really want to be owning memes at the end of the cycle, but L1s I'll hold throughout the whole cycle. And for me, Solana, if we go back to the start of the conversation, like I'm much bigger looking at flows rather than I am looking at just charts. For me, this whole FTX thing, like if I was there and I was there trying to buy the estate from FTX, that 250 million and I was doing some SPV to try and finance it, like me and my buddies would be trying to push down the price of Solana to get that deal done. The moment that clears and that supply clears, I think that could really fucking shoot. I think that's my favorite one for sure. And then after that, look, I think Ether's had a very good run. I wouldn't get involved in that. I think in terms of what you just said, Say has got this paralyzed EVM. It's like no one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Like I think that could keep going. And yeah, like Injective, like I said, there's not, again, no one really knows. It's got a huge amount of TVL. So these sort of things where you can sell a narrative and they're still relatively low. I think Say is like 7 billion, Injective's a few billion. They could do many multiples at this point in the cycle.
I agree.
I think Say market right now is the layer twos. If you actually look at how competitive it is, like with ZK Sync, with Linea coming, Starknet, like that's actually a super interesting space too, especially with Vitalik pretty much coming out and saying like, yeah, this is the way Ethereum's going to scale now. We're going to just rely on rollups.
I don't know. I just, no one likes L2s though, right? On PC, everyone hates the experience. Like everyone prefers the monolithic experience. I've that's just the general sense of things. Like people prefer Solana to many of the L2s. So I'm not too sure. I think if this ETH ETF doesn't go through, I do think that the ETH narrative becomes a little bit more difficult, particularly for those L2s. Like if they don't have
the reason I bring it up is because I'm not saying they'll outperform, but you know, we're talking about TVL. You mentioned the reason I thought of it is because you said, oh, there's not much TVL in Injective. You look at where the TVL is objectively, 60% on Ethereum, another 20 to 25% in L2s. That's where the money is. So like, you know,
I agree.
Obviously the layer ones pump harder, but that's where the money is.
I don't like the ETH layer 2 trade. I don't like ETH. I don't like the ETH layer 2s. It's a spaghetti factory. But specifically when you're trying to use it, it's so complicated to use and you're hopping from one to another. It's so much nicer just to trade meme coins on Solana and be able to trade in and out with zero fees and stuff like that. I did a meme coin trade the other day. I had to get money from my ETH wallet to my Solana wallet to buy it. It cost me $150 just to get my money from one place to the next. And then to buy the meme and trade the meme cost me less than 1 cent, which is like, that's when I realized like, what the hell am I doing here? Honestly, like, let me just be on Solana instead of being on the ETH layer 2s. But as Miles says, 60% of the TVL is in the ETH layer 2s.
I like Say. Like, Say you can move, like, they're going to their V2. They could move a lot of EVM style applications could move there very, very quickly over the coming months. And once you get a monolithic chain, which has a bunch of TVL, like, even some TVL, those things are really, like, you've seen how Sui ran, like, that, you know, if you get one of these L1s that starts to pick up TVL quite quickly, I think they can run very, very quickly. So, yeah, I still like them as a risk-reward trade. Like, I can't really see how Say is going to go down.
What about Denkun? I mean, by the time people are watching this video, it might have been yesterday. But ETH L2s could become a lot more competitive. I'm just kind of being the counter-argument here. Like, I agree right now Solana is the ultimate experience. I totally agree. 6 months, 1 year's time, I don't know. We're going to be having the same conversation, you know, with Linear, ZK, Sync, etc. Like, these guys, you can't deny, like, they've had billions and billions of dollars in funding, much more developer funding than Solana. So I just wonder if the experience there will end up being...
Yeah, there's also a lot of experimentation happening on ETH, eigenlayers happening primarily on ETH. And, you know, there's a lot of experimentation happening on ETH that's not happening on Solana because it's just not conducive. And you kind of have to take a bet that something's going to come out of it. Osef, we are running out of time. So how would you allocate your $10,000 and tell us, you know, maybe your favorite tokens?
Yeah, I'd be heavy on ETH right now, personally, and ETH and Sol. I think that would be like 60 to 75% of my bag. I think those are the best risk reward in the market right now. I do think, I know there's some ETH ETF, but I do think it will be approved. And I think you can see both of those. I see both ETH and Sol as like 3 to 5X trades and with much less downside than anything else out there. So I think
you think that the ETH ETF would be approved in May when it's supposed to be approved? Or do you think it'll be approved, but just not anytime soon kind of thing?
I have a feeling it still will be approved in May. I do think BlackRock will push for it. I think Larry Fink will push for it. And I think the SEC, you know, if they don't approve it, they're risking court cases and they're risking another loss and Gary Gensler's on his last legs. Like, I think there's a lot for them to lose by just rejecting it just because, you know, they have a, you know, a chip on their shoulder. So I think it probably does get approved. I'm acknowledging that the probability is much lower than it was for Bitcoin, but I think it probably does. And I think that's when you see much more, you know, I think we're not really, because everyone's like, oh, I want to outperform ETH. Or I want to outperform Sol because people live in one ecosystem. So then they chase meme coins and alts and et cetera, et cetera. I think they just forget, like, sometimes the best thing is just in front of you. And it also has the least downside as well because, you know, to your point, Ran, like, some meme coins may run now, but they might not be around next cycle. And then you can't really underwrite those trades for many years, but you can with something like ETH. I think you can with something like Sol. And so they would be the largest part of my bag. But having said that, the remaining...
What do you put the remaining?
Would be meme coins.
Meme coins. So not AI, not AI, not gaming. You're going straight into meme coins.
You know what? I don't really find the AI stuff that exciting. I think it's too, like, for me, crypto itself is one big meme, and I'm not a mid curve. I just want to, like, buy things without rationalizing them and just, but know that the number will go up. And for me, AI is just too much to read. Like, I have very low attention span.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Which meme coins, not financial advice. The audience is probably thinking this, right? You keep talking about meme coins.
What which meme coins?
Come on.
Just give us like three. Come on, just three.
I mean, the only ones that I own now, I still own, so I sold 75% of my WIF, but I still own, have quite a large moon bag. But I was in that one early. Like, I bought that one, like, between 2.5 and 4.5 cents. So
fucking rich.
I wish. That was a big win. Morg is another one that I have as well, which I think is about almost a $500 million market cap, maybe 400.
Give us the degen ones. Like. Come on, give us the degen ones. Give us the degen ones.
You're going to pick the ones that are going to get listed. It will be those like mid, there's some mid tier Solana ones like Miro, Popcat, a couple of others which are in like the 300 to 500 range. CT's behind them. They're all going to try and get them listed. Like, I think those will run. I actually don't even own either of those, but I'm telling you, mid tier Solana ones, once they get above 200 million, there's a very good chance.
Okay, come on, give us the list of the ones that are above. So you mentioned Popcat, you mentioned Miro. Come on, just give us like three more.
And I also like some of the election plays, right? Like, I think Trump will do well into this year. Like, I think that will do well. And then there's been a few more DGEN ones recently, like you said, like the one which is Donald Trump and Bowden and the Elizabeth Warren one. I think election is going to be a big one. So I think you could play some of those. And those are more like under 100 million. So you could play them and who knows what happens.
All right, guys, listen, we're completely out of time. So I just want to say thank you very much. It's been amazing having you guys. Great alpha. I think the tempo was fantastic. Miles, good to see you again on the channel. Keep shooting the lights out on your own channel. Been amazing. See you guys again soon. Also to the Banter fam. Love you guys madly. I won't be here tomorrow, but I will be here probably Friday and Saturday doing some meme coin shows. Remember, if you're not already subscribed to Banter Plus, make sure you subscribe to Banter Plus. Make sure your notifications are on, because this is where the alpha is going to be coming for the next couple of days. So I will see you guys again soon. Until then, trade well, my friends.